Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus of our message today is on the reading from Mark chapter 1. I just want to highlight these words again. Everyone was so amazed. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." It was only a two-word bumper sticker, but it was loaded with volumes of social commentary. You may have seen it. The bumper sticker simply said, "Question authority." Now, I don't know how you necessarily receive that. Some may rankle, some may go, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." It may be something that energizes you or other things that maybe depresses you. I don't know. But regardless, it does raise some pretty significant questions. Is there anyone besides ourselves that we can trust? Is there any authority figure that we can believe in without reservation? Is there anyone besides ourselves that is worthy of our total allegiance? Well, if we narrow our perspective to simple human beings, I think you know the answer to those questions. But our text for today encourages us, invites us, reveals to us the true answer, really. It says there is someone else that we can trust. There is an authority figure that we can believe in. There is someone else worthy of our total allegiance. This is the welcome truth as we see Jesus revealed for who he is, a teacher and with authority. And as we consider that this morning, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Before I start, I have a little bit of a cough that creeps up. And so if it sounds like I'm getting emotionally choked up, it's really that I'm just trying not to cough in the middle of what I'm saying. So unless you do see tears, at which point I'm either really choking or I am getting emotional. So with that caveat in place, let's begin. So sometime after Jesus had been baptized, after he had performed the miracle of changing water into wine at the wedding in Cana, after he had called his first disciples, as we heard about last week, Jesus and his, I'll use the term entourage, understand that properly, moved everyone to the town of Capernaum, kind of a crossroads town on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, this made a lot of sense. It was a familiar town to some of the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were from Capernaum, you know, probably knew its every nook and cranny, had lots of connections, lots of people that they could be introduced Jesus to. It was also, as I said, a trade route, so there were regularly all kinds of people coming through, fresh people who not only could hear about Jesus for themselves, but then, of course, carry that to whatever far-off destination they were headed. And then, being a sea town there on the Sea of Galilee, made for pretty quick traveling across the sea to other parts of Galilee as Jesus was carrying out his Galilean ministry. So it all makes sense that he's there. One other thing that was mentioned last week by Pastor Cordes was that there was starting to be opposition from the Pharisees. But at this point, it was mostly localized in Jerusalem. And so in Galilee, Jesus could move a little bit more freely. In fact, so freely that when he went to church that Sunday, the people at the synagogue there invited Jesus to step into the pulpit and preach. And when he did, the people were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who has authority, not as the experts in the law. This is where everybody goes, ooh, like really taking a shot at those experts of the law. But it really was true. There's something about Jesus' method, about his style, about his words as he preached in the synagogue, so much so that the people weren't just like, "Yeah, that was pretty good." No, it says people were amazed, like jaw-dropping amazed at how Jesus taught. It was that different from anything that they had heard before. Because you see, Jesus didn't taught as those teachers of the law taught. When the scribes got up to preach or got up to teach, they always appealed to some other human authority. So it'd be like me getting up here at the pulpit and saying, "Well, Pastor so-and-so says this," and then say what I want to say. They would say, well, Rabbi Gamaliel says this, or Rabbi Hillel says this, or Rabbi Shammai says this. And then they had authority, they felt, and so that they could say what they wanted to say. Jesus was different. We kind of do the same thing today, don't we? I mean, if I wanted to get up today and talk about the various impacts that corrupt the family unit, I might appeal to somebody like Dr. James Dobson, focused on the family. He'd be somebody that a lot of people know, people recognize, an authority figure, and if I use something from him, you'd say, okay, sure, I get it. If I wanted to talk about social justice, I might want to talk about or quote somebody who's at the forefront of it, Dr. Martin Luther King, and share something that he had to say, and you'd be like, well, yeah, that was a guy who was out front, had authority, did a lot of things, had a big impact on people's lives. Sure, I get it. If I wanted to talk about the impact that gangster rap has on our society, and a lot of you just went, what? But if I wanted to talk about the impact that gangster rap has on our American society, I might cite somebody like Dr. Dre. Notice these were all doctors. I might cite Dr. Dre, who is financially the most successful rapper in the history of the genre. And it's all because if I got up and just said, well, this is the way it is, and it was just me talking, chances are you'd say, well, what do you know about gangster rap? What gives you the authority to make such a bold proclamation? And you see, when Jesus got up, he didn't cite any doctors, he didn't cite any rabbis, he just talked. And why? Well, you know the answer. Because Jesus is the authority. Jesus is God, the final and ultimate authority. And that comes through loud and clear. Think back to when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he spent all that day on the hillside, the grassy hillside, talking to people. But so often when he would introduce a new subject, he'd start out by saying this. You have heard it said this. But I say to you this. Not somebody said this or somebody said that. No, I, Jesus, say this to you. And you can almost, even though we don't have the voice recording, you can almost hear that the voice of Jesus, that calm, sure, certain voice of authority that just lays it out there and says, this is the way it is. And recognizing him as God, Jesus is the voice of authority. But you know, it's not just Jesus' method that makes a difference. He also differed in his content. We know from history, from some of the recorded sermons that were preached in the synagogues, we know that what oftentimes happened with rabbis is, well, they were just trying to prove how smart they were. You see people do it today too. They try to prove how smart they are by getting into trivialities. You know, little things that most people don't think about, and so, ooh, wow, you're smart, because I don't typically think of that, and you did. That's kind of the attitude that was behind it. And so they'd get into all kinds of, like, trivialities and legalistic interpretations. They'd go down the rabbit hole into obscure matters, all, as they say, trying to prove how smart they were. But if you look at Jesus, Jesus doesn't do that. He talks about the important things. Matters of life and death, salvation and eternity. He talked about the kingdom of God. In short, he simply proclaimed the gospel. And it was profound because many people had not heard it before. The result was that they were amazed, jaw-droppingly amazed at what Jesus was teaching. And you know, this account could end right here and it would be powerful and it would be bold and Jesus would be authoritative all in this part. But as you heard just a few moments ago, the story goes on where Jesus really drops their jaws. Just then there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Do you catch in there that it's plural and singular? Us and then I? I think that's just creepy. And I don't really, I mean, I don't make light of it, but if you've ever seen a movie where it's portrayed that way, one person is talking, but it's clearly many voices that are, I mean, it is just creeping, spine-tingling creepy. And it really gets us to realize what Jesus was up against right here. what was possessing this man. This particular evil spirit had taken over. And yet, as he comes, this spirit, this demon or demons, come into contact with Jesus. Look at the statement there, the clear statement, acknowledgement of authority that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And not only that, who he is, but what he came to do, to destroy Satan and his minions. Jesus, of course, though, he's not interested in a conversation with evil. He's not going to chat, shoot the breeze a little bit with the spirit. He's going to take care of it. And he immediately rebukes the spirit, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, literally crying a great cry, it came out of him. That's authority. That is command and power right there. And it's the same authority that Jesus uses as he was teaching just a few minutes before, commanding the evil spirit to leave, and it does. The Lord speaks, and it happens. And it predictably caused quite a stir. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." First of all, I got to give the people a lot of credit, because had I witnessed it, I don't know if I could have even said anything, much less come out with that. But I also think that's the power of the Spirit. The reaction was a confession, an acknowledgement, a recognition of Jesus' power and authority right here. I mean, this isn't the first time in just a few minutes that the people are jaw-droppingly amazed. And once again, they marvel at his authority, now displayed in this tremendous power of Jesus. And as you might imagine, people were inclined to say, "Hey, you'll never guess what happened at church today." Yeah, news about Jesus spread, it says, throughout the whole region of Galilee. And not like over a few days, it was quick. There was no, you know, people couldn't jump on their phones and text. They couldn't, you know, do a Snapchat and say, "Check this out." But it still spread, and it spread quickly because people couldn't believe what they saw. They couldn't help but speak. They couldn't help but share the life-changing thing that they just saw happened. And it was probably something like this: Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. He is the voice of authority. And so now I have to ask you, is he the voice of authority in your life? The Guinness Book of World Records lists a guy by the name of Joe Girardi as the world's top salesman. He sold more than 13,000 cars in the span of 15 years. Now, maybe that doesn't sound really impressive at first, but if you think how many cars he had to sell each day over 15 years, I'd be hard-pressed to sell one a day. This guy was probably somewhere, you know, 4 or 5 cars a day for 15 years. Pretty impressive. His subsequent book claims that with the right strategy, you can sell anything to anybody. And in our capitalist culture, it makes sense. Buying and selling is king. Money, finances is king. It is the major authority, major influence on how people live their lives, how they set their priorities, what they do, what is most important. And so I have to ask you again, what authorities rule your life? What influences you the most? Is it money? Is that buying and selling? Is it family? Is it a job? Is it a career? Is it technology? I think a good discipline for all of us would be to, if you have a chance this week, go home and think of all the influences on your life. List them out as many as you want to, or just list the top 20 that you come up with. Put them in priority and ask yourself, which one seems to have the most impact? What motivates me the most? What is the authority in my life? And of course, I'm going to ask you to do it kind of informally here right now, to ask yourself those questions. As you think about your life, what is it that influences you, impacts you the most? I think we'll all probably look and say money is definitely up there. It is very, very high on that list. But I think if we're all honest with ourselves, the biggest impact, the biggest authority in our lives has to do with a God that's spelled with just two letters, M and E. Me. I don't mean me for you, I mean you for you. We're our own God, our own biggest influence. The biggest thing that motivates us is me, right? If we're completely honest with ourselves, we say Jesus is the authority in our lives. We say that he is the ultimate influence on who we are and what we do and how we prioritize. But then you have to start asking yourself some questions. Look at your actions this past week. How much money did you spend on yourself compared to how much money that you gave back to God in many and varied ways? How much time did you spend being in the Word or living the Word compared to, say, binge-watching something on Netflix or catching the next episode of your favorite show? How many times did you put your spouse's needs and wants ahead of your own? How many times did you decide to do what you wanted to do rather than what mom or dad or teacher said to do? Now, I'm not going to tell you this morning that you're sinning simply because you spent more time breathing than praying this week. That's not my point. The point isn't to say the balance is out of whack. No, the point is to say use those as a way to ask yourself some pretty serious questions about what's important in life. How do you spend your time and recognize that maybe Jesus isn't the most important? Maybe Jesus isn't the greatest influence, the greatest authority in your life. Oh, sure, we say Jesus is that authority in our lives. But is he really? I'll tell you, I can confidently say, stand here before you and speak for all of us when we say, thanks be to God, Jesus is. He is the greatest authority in our lives. And not just because he forces it. It's because he is. You have to understand that when we try to live life our own way, we fall short. Despite that, despite trying to get out from under Jesus' authority, he never gave up on you and me. Instead, he traded his heavenly throne for a manger in Bethlehem, his paradise for hell. And it was on the cross that Jesus showed not only the ultimate act of love, but the ultimate authority as he took on sin, death, and hell for you and me and won. He showed his power, his authority. He proved that ultimate authority with his rising from the dead. And this he did for you. When you were his enemy, he showered you with love. When you were dirty with sin, he washed you clean with his own blood. And when you had shut your heart to him, when you had made me, that God, me, as number one in your life, in your heart, Jesus kicked open the door of your heart, cleaned it out, and set himself up in there by his grace, establishing in you faith, connecting you to those promises of God that have authority, that have life-changing power. He's made you his child and has made himself to be the ultimate authority in your life so that when we live, I don't live for me, you don't live for you, you live for him. Paul proclaimed it. He said, Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We began today looking at a two-word bumper sticker, question authority. Raises a lot of questions, and there are a lot of people out there that are still wondering, still looking, still searching for that one authority in their life that can guide them, that can lift them up, that can point them in the right direction. It is the voice of Jesus that they seek. It's the voice of Jesus that we have as he continues to, through his word, proclaim what he has done to assure us that we have a path laid before us set out there by Jesus, as he teaches, as he is the greatest influence on our lives, Jesus is revealed as that authority in your life. Live not for yourself, live for him. Amen.